This is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Good morning, sports fans. A pleasure to have you back here on the air here for the big Thursday show. I know, so much to talk about already. Well, no, not really. It's been such a slow sports week here. Let's be honest. It's been slow. And so my first podcast is on Thursday. I didn't really have a lot to talk about. It's been busy times for the Davester, that's me. We did do Dining with Dave yesterday. That was good. But, yeah, I mean, that's the story right now. Really nothing going on. I mean, we can't really talk about the U.S. Open. There was nothing to talk about. Tiger Woods gave it a run. Phil Mickelson gave it a run. David Duval, of all people, gave it a run. There are a lot of people who made this thing a little bit more interesting, but in the end, it was really just the guy who sucked the least won. Not very impressive. Lucas Glover was the guy that came out on the top of the pile by basically just not screwing up. He did nothing. I mean, he didn't do anything. He hit 73, was it? On the final round? Meanwhile, you had Ricky Barnes, who was leading the thing for two rounds, just give out one of the worst performances in golf history to open the door for everybody else in the field. The least impressive U.S. Open ever. Ever. That's why I don't care. I just don't want to talk about it. Lucas Glover. We're never going to remember this name years from now. Never. I mean, I only remember Trevor Immelman because my dad pointed him out. And he said, hey, you know what, Dave? That guy, Trevor Immelman, never going to hear from him again. He was right. Never heard from Trevor Immelman again, except for a brief 5-second snippet in between shots from Tiger Woods. Come on. I mean, can we give it a rest? I mean, the only thing that's a drawback here in the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson era of golf, Vijay Singh, is that we can never get these guys together to be in the mix consistently. Now, it's interesting. This year's been a little different. I've noticed that Phil's been a part of it. Phil made a run, and Tiger's been in the middle of it, but he hasn't really gone over the top. So I think it's improving. But you still got all these guys who just have been just pretty worthless. Well, that's mean, but haven't really been a factor. And then one of them emerges and he wins, and then you never hear from him again. And that's what I can't stand about golf nowadays. It's like nobody can consistently hang around and compete in these events, especially in the majors. Now, again, it's getting better, but it's still kind of annoying. So that's what's happened over the weekend. Really, I mean, I really wasn't so hard-pressed to talk about that coming off the weekend. There was so much going on anyway. It was Father's Day. Beautiful Father's Day. That was way back on Sunday. And, you know, that was it. From Monday up through to today, up through Wednesday, there's nothing else to talk about. Draft preview, NBA draft preview, which we'll talk about a little bit today. And your usual interleague baseball games, which is, you know, nothing too spectacular. Nothing of note to really get into one way or the other. So there it is. Sports. In the middle, between June and July, before the NFL season starts, before college starts, and I guess you could say before the All-Star game, and all, you know, people make a big deal about the All-Star game. Oh, the All-Star game, such a big deal. It's like, I think it's cool, but it's not really worth getting into that much. I mean, I would never spend an entire show talking about just the baseball All-Star game. Wouldn't really do me any good. So you're tuned in. This is Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio. Today we're trying to figure out what to get into. All right, I took about 4 minutes. I might as well. Boy, did you see the United States of America today? Not just the country, but the soccer team. They beat Team España, Spain, 2-0 today in the Confederations Cup. And this is a big story. If you know anything about soccer. Because, I mean, the United States is not really that good of a soccer team over the years. But there's been so much hype about the team lately. They've been talking about, oh, well, these guys are getting better. They're getting better. And then what happens? They get their butts kicked in any big tournament. But Wednesday was different. In South America, they went out and beat heavily favored Spain 2-0. It's incredible. Now, the win puts them into the championship game. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really know how it works, but the truth is, I mean, you're talking about a pretty big upset in soccer. Now, I really can't speak to it any further than I have. And the reason is because there's two reasons for this. One, I didn't watch the game, and I haven't really followed the sport that closely, and nor do I care to. It's not really that big a deal. I mean, we're excited about it. It's great for national pride. I think it's fantastic. It's a great story. No question. And I think the United States soccer team really should get a lot of credit today. And they deserve a lot of praise. Everybody who was a part of this, whether it was Altidore, who scored in the 27th minute, or Clint Dempsey, who's added the second goal in the 74th minute, and the coach, and the staff, and the trainers, everybody involved with this team, the people who fund it, sponsors, the guys that make the uniforms, this was a team effort, and it's good, you know. You can kind of see soccer catch on whenever you see a big tournament in it. And, you know, it's just like anybody who roots for any team. The whole playoffs are more exciting when your team's in it. And when you talk about the U.S., nothing is exciting unless the United States are involved. This is why in the Olympics you see sports like swimming and gymnastics and track and field as big events. Because the USA teams are always involved and winning and dominating sometimes and getting into it. You ever see that hubbub about diving? No. Because China is dominating that event. I mean, you get there diving for like 5 minutes in late night. But that's about it. And water polo, forget it. Water polo, you gotta wait. You gotta wait till 3 a.m. to watch water polo. You have to go out and find it. It's stuck between several infomercials on multiple channels. But you talk about swimming, well, that thing's front and center. Prime time on NBC. Swimming. Why? Because, well, the USA is involved and they're winning. But it's not any different from sports in general. I mean, think about anybody who's a fan of any team. Take, for example, a friend of mine like Andrew Jacobson or Jacob Rosales. These two guys are huge 49ers fans. Now, the NFL's a different animal. So they're going to love football no matter what. It's a very different animal. It's designed well to cater to television and television viewing. There can be stories that extend beyond merely the game. But in other sports, like baseball, it is highly dependent on one's home team being involved. So these same two gentlemen who are on my show a lot, Andrew and Jacob, love the Giants to the death. And the fact is, when the Giants are not involved in a pennant race, baseball's just way on the back burner. It's just like, who cares? But when the Giants are good, like they are right now, they're winning and leading the wild card race by a mile, by the way. They really get into it. Then baseball becomes a huge deal in San Francisco. Why? Because their team's in it. And this is the truth for every market in sports. And so when you talk about any sport, the sport is bigger because the local team is involved. As great of a basketball city as New York City is, New York City hasn't really had a whole lot of hype about the NBA in the last 15 years. And there's only one good reason for that. Because the Knicks suck. That's the reason. If the Knicks were better, if they were good into the playoffs more, the NBA would be pretty huge in New York. And it's big, but it's not huge. And having the Knicks in there would make that city really go bananas. It would be a party all the way up and down First Avenue, Fifth Avenue, Broadway, you name it. that's really how sports works. So you're looking at soccer, and nobody cares about soccer, but it's really more about the United States than it is about the game of soccer in this situation. And I think it's a good story. I really do. So the United States wins. They beat Spain 2-0, and I mean, that's a huge upset. Let's face it. I mean, it's huge. I mean, I can't even think of anything bigger than this upset as far as U.S. soccer over the years. I mean, we're not going to say that this is the miracle on ice. No, it's not close to that necessarily. But it's pretty big. It's pretty big. You know? So a lot of credit where the credit is due. Well, here we are here in the city. We are hoping that you are enjoying the show with us. And much love to everybody involved here listening in today. I thank you for really sitting through with me for so long and talking about the sports that matter. Soccer is not one of them, unfortunately, for me. Now we move on to the sports that do matter. Unfortunately, there's really only one in progress. That's baseball. I mean, I just don't care right now. It's too early in the season to really get involved. I mean, I got mad at the White Sox today because they had 6 home runs against the Dodgers. So what happens? The Dodgers make a run and they come back. They lose by 3, but they were down as much as 10-3 in the game. So the Dodgers came back. They lost 10-7. That was a pretty big comeback, although it was stopped short in the 9th inning. Bobby Jenks getting his job done. But, you know, you look at the MLB right now, and it's just sort of like, well, everybody's just holding their ground. There isn't any huge push, except one thing that I've noticed that's really popped out so far. Well, two. One, the Yankees are really not that good. Now, I mean, no, I mean, they're not that good. I mean, come on. They really don't have the pitching that everyone thinks they do. And this is one of the problems with the New York Yankees organization. You're talking about a franchise and a city that's so proud of itself that they can't admit that the Yankees are a mediocre club. They get the wins, okay. But they're just not that good, man. They haven't been for years. And this year, I think it's just sort of just more of the same. Oh, they'll make their one little run for 1 month. And then the rest of the time, they're a 500 team. And it's not a big deal. I mean, it's no different than, let's say, whatever Colorado's doing right now. They're hot. But you're just talking about a team that's just that looks better than it really is because of the uniform. So the Yankees did win last night, 11-0, against the St. Louis Cardinals. I gave them credit for that. But the lineup just isn't that threatening anymore. I mean, can A-Rod get a hit sometime next week? You certainly expect him to come back, but man, I mean, they just have not looked good the last couple weeks. Speaking of hot, how about the Angels did last night? 8-0 in the 5th inning. Whoa. Oh, shoot. You know what? The Mets won 11-0. The Yankees won 8-4 last night. I was mixing up the teams. Well, that's quite a baseball market. The Mets and the Yankees their fans love their teams. But they're just not that big a deal. I mean, it's not really catching on like it had been. I know MLB announced yesterday that the Yankees are going to have their broadcast rights extended to the local market so that people in New York could watch the games on the computer. That's good, but, I mean, again, it's more, at this point, it's just more about the marketing with the Yankees. It really is. I mean, who cares about the team? It's about the image. The team hasn't really had much to say. Not only that, but they have no personality. And they haven't for many, 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 many a season. So that's the Yanks in a nutshell. The Mets have their own problems. Red Sox are good. Tampa Bay still can't figure it out. They beat the Phillies yesterday, but that doesn't really mean a whole lot. I think their pitching really isn't really where it was supposed to be. I think they have a decent enough lineup to get into games. But David Price is not working out as well as he should have been so far. Final note on the baseball beat. David Ortiz earned his 1,000th RBI last night. And you have another guy, Nick Green, making a big impact. Nick Green won the game for the Red Sox a few days ago. And he's been involved for quite a bit. Who is Nick Green, you say? Well, Nick Green plays for the Red Sox. And he's been playing for, he's been playing for a few games. And, he's been playing third base. He probably filling in for Mike Lowell, who, not surprisingly, has hit the DL. So Green's doing all right. He's a bit of a prospect for the Red Sox. And it can't be much of a prospect if you're 30, so that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Weird. That's the Red Sox for you. They have all these guys. You just think that they're good because they're on the Red Sox. Not really sure. Meanwhile, how about this? Tigers beat the Cubs for their sixth straight win. I'm telling you, man, Tigers are going to be that team in the AL Central. The Royals thought maybe they'd have a chance. The Twins are certainly keeping pace, but it's going to be the Tigers division, man. It is looking like a Tiger year. And I don't mean Tiger Woods. I mean the Tigers. The Tiger year. Detroit's going to be riding high. And they might as well because they blew the Stanley Cup this year. The Pistons are terrible. The Lions are going to be a joke again. They'll win, I think, more than they did last year, but that's easy to say because they won zero games last year. So it's a Tiger year for Detroit. The Tigers are giving the Detroit fans something. Thank goodness for that. This is Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio. There's a couple of random thoughts I had here as we close out the show tonight. Or today. Can we give it a rest with the fireworks at the end of MLB games? Do we really need to celebrate winning less than 1% of your game? Of your season? I mean, it's so annoying when fireworks go off in any ballpark. Whether it's Angel Stadium, or whether it's... just, it doesn't matter where. I mean, do we really need fireworks? I mean, a Great American Ballpark. Woo! Fireworks! We won a meaningless game against the Astros! Yeah! Who cares? What a waste of pyrotechnics. I mean, just imagine if you worked a regular day at work and your entire staff gave you a cake and threw a party at the end of every day. Why? Because you went to work. Happy day at work. Happy day at work. Here's a cake. Got any presents? I mean, come on. People are going to gather around the table in the break room with a cake. For a regular day. I mean, you do it so many times, it just loses its meaning. And that's why it's annoying. I mean, you really need fireworks at the end of a regular season baseball game. Just ridiculous. And it's not any different, by the way, than when the Lakers win a game at Staples Center and they bring out all the confetti. They won a regular season NBA game! It's stupid! It's got to be the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Why are we celebrating a regular season victory? Come join us. Spread the streamers around. We just won 1/42nd of our home 1/41st of our home schedule. I mean, you expect this sort of thing from the Clippers, but the Lake Show, come on. Any team that does that sort of thing, I mean, it's so unnecessary. It's just like, come on. I mean, okay, you can throw them down if they win the tacos. I think that's worthwhile. Won the tacos, but outside of that, I mean, it's really ridiculous. So these celebrations, they have the fireworks and the waterfalls and the light show... because they won a regular season game. And get with it. We're going to be counting down there, hanging the ball down? Hanging the little ball off Times Square, you know, the little ball with all the lights? Bring it down. 3, 2, 1. We won a regular season game! Yay! No, come on. It's just unnecessary. You know, with the economy the way it is, it's just got to relax a little bit. That's all. Man, I mean, I find that annoying because just some of the things about the regular season in any sport that just mean are so unnecessary. And I don't know if they do these sorts of things at NFL games. The NFL controls an awful lot, so maybe they put a kibosh on that sort of thing. But you certainly hope that they don't do fireworks at the end of regular season games. And I don't think they do, so the NFL gets it. And I applaud them for that. Because other sports really don't. Man, I mean, you just got to put it in perspective. I mean, by the time, I mean, it gets to a point where you have all the fireworks go off and people aren't even looking at them anymore. It's like, oh, yeah, they won. Big deal. But there are some things you could do, like light the halo at Angel Stadium. Hey, they win. Or even put the little flashing graphic that says, we win. Big letters. You could have Bernie Brewer slide down the slide over there at Miller Park. And that's okay. But, you know, big old bombastic orchestrations at the end of regular season action is pointless. And that's being kind. I mean, come on. It's kind of retarded, actually, when you think about it. So that's all. I mean, it's just kind of where I'm at with that right now. Well, you know, as we head into the weekend, we see one last thing for interleague play. Interleague play has been interesting this season, and the thing about it is, I haven't really seen any league dominate the other this year. Usually everyone talks about, well, the AL has been so much better against the NL and gets all these contests. Look at all the AL teams winning today. Well, let's look at the scoreboard from the last couple of days. I mean, you look at last night. You look at the scoreboard last night. And let's see. Well, the Mets won. Score one for the NL. Boston wins AL. Pittsburgh beats Cleveland, which isn't really much. But still, Cleveland losing there in the AL. Okay, two more for the NL, one for the AL. Detroit won. Toronto won. Tampa Bay won. All right. But then Florida won. Milwaukee won. And then that's all we had. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, I'm not really seeing a huge advantage for the American League, you know. And then you go back to Tuesday. Well, obviously, we can't really count the St. Louis-New York series because that's an NL game. But let's say, okay, you know, you had two AL guys, two NL guys, no, three NL guys, three AL guys, NL, AL, 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 NL, NL. It just goes on. NL, AL, NL, NL. I mean, it's really nobody really taken over the other in interleague play over the last couple of days. And let's go back to Monday. I mean, Monday, it just alternates back and forth. Oakland won, Colorado won. All right, so the one of each. And then, like, Sunday, well, the Dodgers dispatched the Angels, for example. But Detroit beat Milwaukee. But Chicago beat Cincinnati. Tampa Bay beat the Mets. And Baltimore beat the Phillies. But you also had Houston, St. Louis, and the Chicago, the Cubs, winning. As well as San Diego and San Francisco to go with Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Toronto, and so on. So, I mean, really, it's just kind of back and forth this year. And I think that's a good thing. Kind of shows that the whole bit about the American League being so vastly superior to the National League is a little overrated. A little bit. It wasn't before, but it is right now. So that's Interleague in a nutshell. I think it'll be over after the end of this weekend. I think it was a success this year. And it's good to see the National League show a little bit of clout this time around. They got some good teams. You got the Dodgers, good team. They lost last night to Chicago, the White Sox, but they're fine. You got the Giants, who are just having an unexpected season this year. And I'll check the standings in a second, but... Boy, who would have thunk it? I mean, they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. There's no question about it. But they do, in fact, have the third best record in the National League right now. Third best. And they are winning the wild card race by a half a game over the Brewers. It depends on what they did last night, actually. But, you know, I mean, they're having a good season so far. That's probably going to fall apart. But the idea that they're even in this thing as well as they're in is really remarkable. I mean, the Giants have really picked it up. Their pitching is pitching a lot better than we imagined. I think a big reason why is Barry Zito. He's had so many quality starts over the last 2 months. And, you know, some of the Giants fans are tuned into this. Most of them were still not sold, and rightfully so. But Zito's just continuing to get the job done. He keeps them in games. He goes a few innings. And that's about as well as he could possibly pitch, and that's about what you could hope for Barry Zito. And he's doing it. Wow, right? Wow, indeed. And it's all pitching. The Giants have no offense. They have nothing. They're nearly in last place in the National League in runs scored. I think they're third to last in Major League Baseball in runs scored. It's pretty bad. But that's all that's going on this weekend. So I mean, I just think that's really remarkable what's going on with San Francisco. All right, anyone want to hear about tennis? Okay, yeah, me neither. Maria Sharapova upset at Wimbledon. I mean, I guess that's something that's not good. I mean, we don't want to see that. But you know the thing about tennis is I think just about everybody gets upset once. Everybody who's ever played the game, every great player, women or men or whoever, have been upset. Nadal's been upset before. Federer's been upset. Agassi going back has been upset. Sampras has been upset. John McEnroe, I'm sure, got upset way back in the day. I've seen Serena Williams, Venus Williams, Maria Sharapova, and many others get big-time upset in even early rounds in big tennis tournaments and all the Grand Slam events. So somebody's going to get upset at some point during a big tennis tournament. It's just like clockwork. Because the way the game is, you can lose control of a tennis match quickly. So if you do, then that opens the door for the underdog to go forward. How far do they go? Usually not far. But it does give people in tennis a real chance to upset somebody huge. And this is what you don't see in golf because there's no you don't play head to head in golf. But in tennis, it's really one on one. So if you lose your cool, you mess up, you make a bunch of unforced errors, it's over. In fact, it's bound to happen. It's almost guaranteed to happen to all the greats. Every great tennis player in their entire history will get upset at least once in a big Grand Slam event. Will. Not could or possibly might. No, will. They will get upset because that's just what tennis is all about. Tennis is really about as mental of a game as you can get. It really is. It's almost more mental than physical. I'm sure there's physicality involved and needed. But when you get down to it, it's a mental game. Huge mental game. And I got to give this to Maria Sharapova. She did go all three sets. And she lost to Gisela Dulco of Argentina. 45th ranked Gisela Dulco. I guess that's not too bad. I mean, 45th out of, I don't know, like 390 players in tennis worldwide. I mean, that's not too bad. Oh, yes, and on a side note, Roger Federer wins, of course, and Rafael Nadal's not involved. He's not playing. This is surprising for what reason? Like, none. But it's not, again, it's not Roger Federer's fault that Nadal can't play. You can't pin that on Roger Federer. You can't say, well, he's going to win because he didn't get any competition. No. You still got to win the matches, one, for Roger Federer. And two, just because the other guy's not involved doesn't invalidate one's talent. Federer is a fantastic tennis player, whether Nadal's in there or not. You can't base it on just how he does against the second best guy or the other excellent guy. I mean, Nadal's probably the better tennis player now. I think that's obvious. But that doesn't mean that Roger Federer is a bum. No, I mean, that's ridiculous to think. And if Federer goes on to win, you can't put an asterisk on there, per se, because you can't assume that he's going to win, even if he's not in there. Because it is every bit likely that Roger Federer could get upset by anybody going forth in Wimbledon. When you play on a really strange surface like grass, when you play on a weird surface like clay, it increases the odds for something to go wrong. For any player to lose control of his or herself. So, you have to give Roger Federer a fair shake. Whether he wins or whether he doesn't win, I think he earns it no matter what. And that's it. That's the way that I see that. I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you very much for listening here on our abbreviated Dave in the City podcast. We hope you have a wonderful day. I didn't get to talk about the draft. You know what? Here's my early take. I'm going to say that the Clippers get Blake Griffin. That's obvious. But I think this guy named Rubio, they've talked him up a lot. I think he's going to be good. The beat's going to be pretty pointless. And that's all I have. All right, have a great day, everyone. We'll see you next time.